All right, the book of James this morning, if we can turn there, James chapter 2, the book of James in chapter 2, I'll read for us verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. So James and chapter 2 and verse 14 through 26. I'll start reading in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you again. Lord, it's always just a joy to be able to sing your praises and remind ourselves of how wonderful and great and mighty you are and how wonderful and amazing your salvation is. And Father, I pray as we look into your word this morning that you would quicken each one of us, and Lord, you'd grant to us eyes to see, ears to hear that which you'd have for us today, Lord. Our prayer, Lord, our desire is for you to meet with us and for your will to be accomplished. And so we look to you, Lord, now, and we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I was talking to a man yesterday, went out door knocking, and he goes to a church in town, and I was talking about him various things, and in the conversation I asked him, I said, so when did you get saved? And he said, okay, that's good you asked that. And he went back about, I think he said 30 odd years, and he said, I wasn't really kind of interested in all that sort of stuff, I had a bit of background and what have you, but he said, I went along to a particular meeting, and he said, that was the night I made a commitment to the Lord. The man preached, and he said, I listened to it, and said, I made a commitment to the Lord. And he said, since then, I've been in church and done all that. I said, amen, that's good, as long as you're sure you're saved. And he said, yeah. And then I went next door, and there was a lady came to the door, and she said, oh, yeah, I go to church. And I said, okay, that's very good. I said, when did you get saved? She said, 28th of November, 92. I said, amen, that's good. You got a testimony. So that's important, that you know when you get saved, because when you get saved, you know it. And so we had a bit of fellowship there, and that was good. They didn't just say, well, I have faith and all that kind of stuff. But this morning I want us to, with this passage in mind, ask this kind of a question. What kind of faith do we have? What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do I have? You know, there's different kinds of faith. And faith's faith, but there's different kinds of faith. You know, the Bible talks about those who have strong faith, those who have weak faith, those who have little faith, some have great faith. Various ways of describing faith in the scriptures. Not everybody is walking around all day, every day with great faith. It would be nice if that were the case. But there's also other aspects. You've got what's called common faith. Now, every one of us exercise common faith regularly throughout the day. The fact that you sat down this morning in these chairs, you exercised what we call common faith. You believed that the chair was going to hold you. You didn't kind of get an x-ray machine out and just check it, make sure there's no weaknesses in the legs, and then kick it and push it and pull it and jump on it and then eventually say, no, I think this chair will hold me. No. You just sat down by faith, believing that the chair would hold. That's common faith. Now, there's another kind of faith which the scriptures talk about, which is called saving faith. And Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's what we'll call saving faith. Faith that leads to salvation. And it's quite clear, the Bible is very clear, that all need salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no question about that, biblically speaking. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through the Lord Jesus. And so there is a penalty for sin. We hear this often and we go, yes, we understand that. But we have to kind of keep repeating that, because we don't know where someone's at in their life and whether they're really saved or not. And so we have to remind ourselves often that there is a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. And that death is not just talking physical death. It's talking about that as well, of course. But the death which comes, which the Bible terms the second death, when the individual who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as their Saviour will be separated from God forever in a place called hell. The Bible is clear that there's a penalty. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John 3:36, the Lord again spoke there, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, shall not come into contact. The wrath of God is no longer upon him. You see, it's a very serious matter when it comes to salvation, because the penalty is eternal. The cost of not trusting Christ as our Saviour, it leads to an eternal penalty, separated from God, the second death forever. Now, a true Christian has saving faith. We're going to term it that this morning, saving faith or biblical faith. And when it comes to salvation, so often we've all heard it said many times, but you get all sorts of responses when you talk to people. Say, well, I've always been a Christian. Talking to someone just recently about that, and he said, I've always been a Christian. I said, well, sorry, nobody's always been a Christian. Well, I was brought up in the Christian home. That may be the case, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's a blessing to be brought up in a Christian home. We understand by that, we're saying that the parents were Christians. But that doesn't make the person a Christian. They have Christian values. They've had them instilled in them, maybe, but they're not Christians at that point. Others would say, well, yeah, I've been baptized. I mean, I spoke to one man, I've probably made mention of him in the past, you know, he said, I've already been baptized 3 times. And, you know, God's never done anything for me. I said, well, what's baptism got to do with it? Now, the Bible is clear about being baptized. We need to be baptized as a believer. That's quite clear. It follows the Great Commission. Go ye, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, etc. So there's no question that baptism is part of the Christian life, but it's not part of my salvation. It doesn't get me saved. It doesn't keep me saved. Others would tell you, well, you know, you've got to belong to a certain church, and the cults will go around and tell you that, won't they? The Jehovah's Witnesses will come around and tell you, you know, we're the only ones. And then you got the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and they're the only ones because, you know, God raised up Joseph Smith and he's a prophet in the last days, and on and on it goes. Others would say, well, I believe in God. And what did James say about that? Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Believing in God's not salvation. Now, if you don't believe in God, then obviously you won't get saved. That's simple enough. I know the night that I got saved, I had to settle that matter. Do I believe in God or not? Yeah, okay, I believe in God. Whoever, wherever God is, I'm happy to accept that there is a God. But that didn't save me, just believing that. But it was a needful step before I could get saved. You can't get saved by God if you don't believe he's there. You know what we're saying? Others would say, well, look, you know, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. Well, that's good, but how does that save us? Right. Then salvation also, and saving faith is not just giving mental assent to certain facts. Because time and time and time and time and time again, and then some time and time again, well, I believe Jesus died on the cross, I believe he's raised again, I believe, etc. So are you saved? You know, are you sure if you die right now you'd go to heaven? Oh, I don't know. You see, saving faith is based on biblical facts, but just giving mental assent to them doesn't save the person. You know, we could go down to the Catholic Church today and ask all the Catholics there, do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? I'm sure they'd all go, yes. Do you believe Jesus was raised from the dead physically, body? Yes. Are you saved? Well, I hope so. I'd like to think. You're going to be in heaven one day. I hope I will be. And on it goes. What have they done? They've given mental assent to certain biblical facts, but they're not saved. They don't have saving faith. They believe in a God. You know, it's too easy to, you know, yeah, I believe in God, it's all good. That's not saving faith. Now, again, you cannot get saved without believing that the Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You can't get saved without believing that the Lord Jesus was raised physically and bodily from the grave. You can't get saved without that knowledge. But that knowledge alone won't save you. Now, we know what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that he's Lord, that he's the one who came and died for our sins, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. No question about that. You cannot divorce the facts from salvation, but the facts alone, belief in those, if it's only up here, it's got to go a foot lower to here, to the heart. If I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, then I'm saved. You see the difference? So many people will give mental assent. They'll tick the box, but they're not saved. You know, now there's two sides to faith. And one side is God's side, right? God sees our faith. Obviously, the Lord Jesus, during his public ministry, the Bible says on occasion, he saw their faith. He saw it. He saw that they had faith. He could see that. Our difficulty is we can't see it the way God sees it. I can't see what's happening in the person's heart or what hasn't happened there. I can't see that. That doesn't mean the person's saved or not saved. I can't see that aspect. You know, Paul said again, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now God sees whether I have true saving faith. And people say, well, look at Paul and James. They're in conflict with one another. No, they're not in conflict at all. They actually complement each other. Paul tells us what God sees. James tells us how man views it. Okay? Because when you look at Paul, and oftentimes we miss out verse 10 in Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved, chapter 2, verse 8 in Ephesians, through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oftentimes people put a full stop there. You need to read the next verse. For what? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained we should walk in them. So Paul agrees with James, amen? And James agrees with Paul. It's just that James is emphasising verse 10 of what Paul wrote about. There are good works which as believers we should walk in them. And guess what? If we're walking in them, man will see them, won't he? Man will see it. Now we won't see the faith as God sees it, but we'll see it by what we see in the person's life, whether they really have saving faith or not. Okay? So James says what? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now that he's talking about, you know, just you believe the truth. Well, do I believe the truth? Yeah, I believe the truth. So if you believe the truth, and that's what you're basing it on, that's what he's saying, a man may say has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, you say you believe, so where's the evidence of that? Where's the evidence that you believe? Because James says, though a man say hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Well, he goes on, doesn't he, and says, verse 17, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. I says, well, I believe all that, yeah, but where's the evidence that you believe that? Where are the works that show that you believe that? Now we know you can get all backslidden and get out of sorts with God and live like the devil for a while. We understand that can happen to a Christian. But then there'll be some fruit even there. Because when someone's really saved and they're not walking right with God, it becomes pretty obvious as well. Because if they were saved in the first place, there would have been good works. Now they're out of sorts with God. And you can tell they're out of sorts with God. You say, I used to think they were saved. Let's have a look at it. And then you see what's happening in their life now. And you say, no, I think they're still saved. It's just they're not right with God. You know, one of the clear things, if someone is saved and they're not walking right with God, the joy's gone. And it's written all over them. All over them. What do you mean? When you're saved and walking with God, there's a glow there, there's a joy there. When you're saved and not walking with God, praise the Lord, brother. That's great to be saved, brother. The joy's not there. Now, it's not that the person's not saved, but they've got something in their life that is grieving the Spirit of God. Because where does the joy come from? The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy. And I've said to my wife oftentimes, you know, I don't know what their problem is, but they got a problem. So why is that? Because there's no joy evident. I'm not saying they're not saved. I think they're saved, all right. But there's no joy there. Because you have a look at them. And they go through the motions and they do what's right perhaps, but something inside which they know and God knows is not right. Or maybe they have grieved the Lord and they're not actually sure, certain that they've done it yet, but they still kind of feel not quite, yeah, it's just not quite right. And God's saying to them, yeah, because you've got a sin there you need to deal with. Whatever that might, could be just a, I say just, could be a pride problem. Could, all sorts of things it could be. And the joy's gone. And it's evident. Again, so I just emphasise that in one way. I don't want to labour it too much. So what does he say? Well, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 19, we've already touched on that. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, that's wonderful. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but so does the devil. Where's the evidence that that truth has made some change in your life, which is a real change, evident to others, works? You say, ah, see, you said it's by grace, not of works. We're not talking about works that gets you saved. We're talking about works that prove that you are saved. See the difference between the two? God has ordained us under good works, which we should walk in them. But they're not works to get us saved. We're already saved, for by grace are you saved. You know, you read back in the original, it's for by grace are you once for all time saved? You go back in the original, have a look. For by grace you are saved through faith. And now there is works, or there is supposed to be, if I had saving faith. That's what we're talking about. And so James is not arguing with Paul, he's reinforcing what Paul says. Read a little further. What does he say next? Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He says, listen, you vain, proud person. You say you've got faith, but where's the works? Faith without works is dead. In other words, no faith at all. There's not saving faith. It's a mental assent, perhaps, to some facts, but there's not saving faith. And then he goes on to illustrate it. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he'd offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? See, there you go. James says that he got justified by works. I thought we were justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are. Read a little bit further. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Notice what it says next. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So God's not contradicting himself. He's saying, listen, listen. James says, listen. You go back, and you find there in the book of Genesis, he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Where was Isaac at that point? He hadn't even been born. He's not saying, what he did with Isaac saved him. That was the works that justified him. No, it's the works that justified him in this sense. It showed that he had true saving faith. He was obedient to God, and he went to the ultimate, as it were, to offer his only begotten son, who's to be the heir and down through to Christ, to offer him on a sacrifice for God. All that did was his work showed that he was truly saved. That's all James is saying. He was justified, how? In the sight of men. God already imputed righteousness to him. God had already saved him. But now for us looking on, we say, could we be sure Abraham was saved? James says, yeah, have a look what he did there with Isaac. That's proof positive that that man was saved. All right. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. There's no contradiction here. We're talking about how man views it. God's already seen what's happened in the heart, but man looks on the outside and goes, yeah, okay, I can see. There's a real testimony there. There's been a real change, and I can see something there that's real. Again, just to say I have faith? No. No, that's not enough. You think about it. In Matthew chapter 7, oftentimes we make reference to that. Let's have a look here again in Matthew chapter 7. Because here's some people who had good works. And they were trusting in their good works. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21, the Lord Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the will of the Father is to believe on him that sent him. But notice what it says, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. There's some good works. These people have got to be true believers, surely. They've got to be. I mean, they've done all this in the Lord's name. Prophesied, cast out devils, many wonderful works, all in the Lord's name. They'll be in heaven. Come on. Good works there. Read the next verse. And then, this is a tragedy, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many will be trusting in their good works. Many will. And God will say, I never knew you. Sorry, I never knew you. There was no saving faith. There was faith in the sense of intellectual ticking the boxes, perhaps. Yeah, I believe in God. I've done it all in God's name. How wonderful is that? Well, sorry, there was no saving faith, the Lord says. Notice what he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. Never, that means not ever. There wasn't a time when they kind of trusted the Lord as their saviour and then everything went good for a while and then they did some terrible sin and God said, that's it, you know, we're going to cut you off now because you've sinned. No, he says, I never knew you. I had one of the men who used to be in the prison down here, he's up in Port Lincoln jail at the moment, and he rang me the other day and we had some talk, and he was saying he's got some people who are going to be visiting him this weekend. These people were people that God used to help him to get saved probably 6, 7, or 8 years ago, whatever it was. He said the problem with them is, he said, they believe in loss of salvation. And he said, what am I going to say? Because he said, all, you know, and when he talks to them, it just gets into a big argument. He said, now, I used to believe that because that's what they used to teach me. But he said, since I've been in prison and since I've been looking at the Bible, he said, I realise that that's not the case. That when you get saved, you are saved eternally. That all your sins are forgiven and that you never need be concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. And so we had some talk about that. And as he pointed out, and we've discussed it before, if salvation was dependent upon my works, there's a number of problems with it. Firstly, it tells us that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, his sacrifice wasn't all sufficient for all my sins. In other words, God picked out certain of my sins and put them on the Lord and said, sorry, the rest, you're going to have to work that out. So now what have we got? We've got a salvation which is grace plus works, which is not salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. So we spoke about that. One of the other problems with a loss of salvation is, what do you have to do to lose it? Could you give me, please, a chapter and a verse which would show me at what point you lose it? Can't do it. Why? Because you can't lose it. You can't lose your salvation. You can lose your fellowship with God. No question about that. Try Lot, who vexed his righteous soul daily with their unlawful deeds. He was living down there in Sodom and he shouldn't have been there. And his life finished up a mess, but he was still a righteous man. He wasn't right with God in the sense of his fellowship with God. But he was a righteous man. That means he was a saved man. So at what point do you lose it? You know, how big a sin do I have to commit before I lose it? Do I have to kill someone? Would I lose it then? If I told a lie, would I lose it then? And I said to him, you know, one of the difficult things when talking to people with that mentality is, when you ask them, you know, what sin do I have to commit, they can't tell you. So that means you're going to have to walk around the rest of your Christian life like this. Oh, I just sinned. I hope I didn't lose it then. And then, oh, sorry, Lord. Imagine, what sort of a life would that be? But surely if you really believed you could lose your salvation, you didn't know what point you'd lose it, it'd be an eggshell walk, wouldn't it? It'd be... And yet all of them I've ever spoken to have that belief. When I ask them, so do you think you could lose? Oh, I wouldn't. You've already lost it, mate. You've got a pride problem. You think you'll be good enough to keep it. No, by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, faith alone saves us on the human side. But faith that saves is never alone. There's always works or evidence of the salvation of that person. And whether it's they're walking around with no joy written all over them, or whether they're actually doing the good works which they're supposed to do, either way, there's evidence that people can see that person's obviously saved. They're obviously a true Christian. They have saving faith. See, how does it start? It starts with repentance. You remember what Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 20, when he was talking to, and he said, I preach repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what's repentance? Repentance is turning to God. You can get all technical about it and all sorts of things that happen, but the simplicity is I turn to God and everything else now is behind me because I'm looking at God and saying, God, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross and was buried and raised from the dead. Please forgive me. I understand that I'm a sinner who needs salvation. God says, save. Save. Now, you don't have to say exactly that and do exactly what I just did then, but you get the picture. Repentance is when I turn to God and I stop trusting in anything and everything and everyone, including myself, and I just acknowledge the truth. I'm a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and was buried and raised again, and now I believe that. By the grace of God, I believe that, and now I'm saved. But everyone's testimony is different, isn't it? Everyone's testimony is different. The person who gets saved when they're 8 years old, it's a lot different testimony to someone who gets saved when they're 40 and they've lived a life of sin and rebellion and everything else. It's a lot different, isn't it? A lot different. You know, every testimony is unique. There are no two testimonies exactly the same. But let me say this. Whatever the testimony is, if it's true salvation, there will be works, as James says. We will be justified by the things that we do in the eyes of man. People will see it. They can't not see it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, all things now become new. And it'll be evident to people looking on. No two are exactly the same. No two. Who sees the faith? First of all, God sees it, doesn't he? God sees it, and when he sees it, he saves that person. And then once they're saved, then man sees it. Man sees. There's obviously something different about that person. They may be not swinging from the chandeliers, but there's something different. They may be not grovelling on the ground begging for mercy, but there's something different. There's something different. Why? Because by God's grace, they've exercised saving faith in what Christ did on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, and now they're a child of God. It really is that simple, but it really is that tricky in one sense. Question. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have I tick the box faith, or do you have saving faith? Do you have saving faith? That's what's important, isn't it? James says, you'll know if someone has saving faith. You'll be able to tell by their works. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and bless you for the wonderful salvation which is available through our Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial and resurrection. Father, I thank you for the privilege of looking into your word again this morning. And Lord, the simplicity of the gospel, Christ's death, burial, resurrection for sinners, that whosoever turns to God and asks for forgiveness, you'll forgive them and save them and give them eternal life, they shall never perish. And Lord, we praise you and bless you for that. It's nothing we do, it's nothing we've done, it's nothing we can earn, it's nothing we do to keep it. It's all because of the cross of Calvary and then the empty tomb that followed, the grace of God. And Father, we thank you and we praise you and bless you. And Lord, you know our hearts this morning. We're not going to get everybody to stand up, Father, but if there's anybody here this morning, you'd be honest with you. Because you see, first of all, you're the one who sees whether the person has true saving faith, true belief in what you've said in your word about their condition spiritually. You can see that. Lord, if there's anybody this morning that you'd be as it were tapping on their heart's door and saying, I can't see any true saving faith here. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus to be saved. Father, is anybody like that this morning? I pray that you would continue to knock on their door till they would say, God, I surrender, I give in, I acknowledge I'm a sinner that Jesus died for. Please forgive me, save me. And then, Father, for God's people, that we would be ever so thankful for your wonderful salvation which we have in the Lord Jesus. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. It's only by grace through faith. But, Lord, we're thankful that we can have that assurance that we know that we have eternal life and we shall never perish. Well, what a wonderful salvation that is. Lord, help us, Lord, to walk in those good works which you have before ordained, that people might see the joy and might see the true salvation shining out from within us. And Father, then to go out and share the good news with others, that they too might come to that saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And we give you thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.